Yes, Holy Spirit, come and breathe upon us. Let your ruah, your breath, flow over us and fill this place. It is so good to see y'all. You look good. I am glad it's the third day, that we live in the third day. It's funny, earlier this morning when we were in manuscript study, one of the verses we studied was the person who tried to save their life would lose it. The person who was willing to lose their life for the sake of the kingdom would find it. That was the actual verse God gave me when I first started InterVarsity. I had agreed to come for a year. At the six-month mark, Alec asked if I'd be willing to stay permanently. That was about 8.5 years ago. We were in fall meetings. I was wrestling with the invitation, and God brought that scripture to mind. And I said, Lord, this job is not marriage-friendly, and it is not children-friendly. And God said, you're not married and you're not pregnant. What's the problem? The problem was that I wanted to be. And God said, I want you to take those desires and I want you to put them on the altar and let them burn up. Now, the reason I'm glad it's the third day is because I have a great roommate this staff conference. Hallelujah! My husband is here, Philip Thompson. Where you at, baby? Wave your hand so they can see you. We bring you greetings from Trinidad, the island of Trinidad and Tobago. He had to buy new clothes to come here. But I bring that as an example. I decided to go to World Assembly 2007. And at that conference, I met his mother and his sister. And the next year, I invited myself to go visit them. And that's how I met my husband. And later I realized, Lord, if I had never said yes to you, I would have never met him. And so it pays to obey God even when we think at the moment we're losing the thing we want the most. Now, as John preached, he said, you know, we're here for the conference and we're being sent out, but we're not being sent out yet. Tonight is the night that we have asked the Holy Spirit to come be in our midst and minister to us. And so tonight is the night that he wants to gather us and he wants us to experience his love. Now, some of you may have noticed that I don't have shoes on. I've been praying about this conference for a long time, had a number of dreams. In one of the dreams, I didn't have any shoes on. So I asked the Lord, Lord, why am I not wearing shoes in the dream? After I woke up, I asked. So he says, first of all, you want to meet with me. So the place where you're standing is holy ground. So I want you to take your shoes off as a sign that it's sacred space. The second reason he told me to take my shoes off is because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. And so when you're in your house and you take your shoes off and you're walking around, there's this sense of comfort. You're comfortable. And so tonight, God wants us to have that comfort in his presence. I've been asked to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in developing world changers. And what I decided to do was just look in the book of Luke. Because in the early chapters of Luke, that's where we see the people who are developing the world changers of John the Baptist and Jesus, right? So in Luke chapter 1, Gabriel appears to Mary. He says, greetings, Mary. You're highly favored. Mary's kind of troubled, and she wonders what kind of greeting that might be. So he goes on to inform her, you're going to give birth to a son. You're going to name his name, you know, call his name Jesus. And then Mary says, how will this be? I'm a virgin. So Gabriel lets her know. He says, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And what's born of you will be of God. Now, I'm sure when Mary asked, how will this be? She was hoping for a bit more specific information. And basically, he said, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. Now, I think often as we're on campus, as we're pursuing work at InterVarsity Press or the camps, wherever we are, we're facing these challenges, we ask the same question. Lord, how will this be? How might this work out? And I remember asking the Lord that one time, and he said, Paula, you know, what you don't need more information. What you need to know is that I'm with you. And I think often when we're in these situations on campus, God wants us to know that it's not so much a figuring out as it is a pouring in. And all he needs is for us to be still enough for him to pour out what he wants us to do. So we can fast forward a little bit. Gabriel tells Mary, your cousin's also pregnant. She's in the hill country. Mary decides she's going to go and see her. And so she gets to Elizabeth's house. Scripture says as soon as Mary's greeting reaches Elizabeth's ears, her baby jumps in her womb. She's filled with the Holy Spirit. And she says, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. How is it that the mother of my Lord will come to me? Once again, we see the Holy Spirit at work. He fills Elizabeth. She gets a word of knowledge. Mary gets this wonderful affirmation. Guess what, Mary? You're not crazy. You are carrying the Son of God. And not only do you know it, but I've caused someone else to know it so that you can be resting in the confidence of the truth that I've spoken to you. Go a little further, we see Zechariah. Now, at first, Zechariah, when Gabriel came to him, said, how can I be sure of this? And Gabriel said, I'm going to tell you how you're going to be sure. You ain't going to talk till the baby comes. And so later in Luke 1, John is born, they name him, Zechariah's tongue's loosed, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, he starts worshiping as well. Prophesies, rejoicing. We move on to Luke 2. In Luke 2, we have Simeon in the temple, been there a long time serving the Lord, that God has promised him. He wants to see the consolation of Israel. God promises him he wouldn't die until he sees the Savior. And here comes Jesus to be presented in the temple. So, moved by the Holy Spirit, Simeon steps out, gets to hold the baby, talk to the parents. Later on, a few verses later, Anna's there. She's prophesying, not leaving the temple. She comes out, speaks a word. So the Holy Spirit is replete throughout Luke. We move from 2 to 3. Jesus is getting baptized. Holy Spirit descends in the form of a dove on his shoulder. Father speaks from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Similar to Jesus, he wants us to experience his love before we do anything. His love is not based on our performance. But how often do we go out anxious and afraid? Acts says that in him we live and move and have our being, and God wants us to operate from his belovedness. And part of tonight is God gathering us and pouring out his love. In Luke 13, Luke says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how I have longed to gather you like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Tonight, God wants us to be willing. He wants us to come and let him gather us together and pour out his love. But I'm ahead of myself. That's Luke 13. We're going to go back a little bit. We're going to go to Luke 4. In Luke 4, it says that Jesus, after he comes up from the baptism, he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness, right? And there for 40 days, he's tempted by the devil. He's tempted in 3 ways. He's tempted to turn the stones into bread. He's tempted to bow down and worship Satan. And the third one is, throw yourself off the temple if you're the Son of God. So he's being challenged in his identity. If you're the Son of God, do this. How often does the enemy come and challenge us in terms of our identity as the children of God? And we're faced with those same temptations to use God's power for our own good, idolatry, presumption. As I was praying and preparing for this message, there were 2 other temptations that came to mind. In this generation, there's a temptation to confuse being a world changer with being a superhero. We have lots of shows and programs and Marvel comics about superheroes. Jesus was not a superhero. Jesus washed feet. Jesus humbled himself. He wasn't trying to make a name for himself. He was coming to glorify the Father. And so we have to be careful when we wear the label world changer, that we don't make more of ourselves than we ought to. The second temptation we have is, especially when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, is to dwell on the miraculous and forget the importance of good works. Because the wedding of Cana, tasting the wine was the miracle, but somebody had to fill the water pots. Right? When Jesus feeds the 5,000, he blesses the food and multiplies it, and it's a miracle, but somebody has to pick up the 12 baskets of fragments. So when we're out changing the world, we have to be willing to do what needs to be done, not just the glamorous stuff. Now, as I was thinking about Jesus and him being led through those temptations, he comes through. And if you think about him in that place in the wilderness, every time Satan comes to tempt him, what is his response? It is written, right? If you're the Son of God, do this. It is written. And so when the enemy comes, when we're facing temptations, we need to respond with the word. We need to come back with the word. And you know, as InterVarsity, we know the word, right? But sometimes you got to put down the colored pencils. And you got to put down the manuscript page. And the word becomes the sword of the Spirit. You got to wield the sword. Some of us are struggling, and what we need is a good old-fashioned sword fight. It is written. And after about the third time, it said, and then Satan departed until a more opportune time. So for some of us, it's about wielding the sword tonight. And you know the word. It's just putting it into practice. Ooh. Now, when it comes to tonight, there's two things I'm supposed to say. That there's not just a word that God wants to tell us, but there's actually something he wants to give us. Now, when you think about resurrection and the resurrected Christ and the excitement and the cheering, if you look at Ephesians 1, 17 through 19, Paul prays that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation so they might know him better. He prays that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they might know the hope of their calling, the glorious riches of the inheritance of the saints, and the incomparably great power of those who believe. That the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available for us who believe, right? And so the word for us tonight is that God wants us to believe. And if I ask you believe God, you'll say, yes, I believe God. Of course I believe God. But in this season, God is stretching me to a new level of faith. He is stretching me to a new level of belief. And I'm going to tell you a story that God used to illustrate it for me. I spent a couple months of my sabbatical in Trinidad. As part of that, I decided, you know, I should really embrace the culture, get to learn more about the people and the history. And so there was a Caribbean film festival that was going on. My sister-in-law went to get us tickets. And the closing show we wanted to see, but it had been sold out for several days. She went up again, no one was there. We were told it's sold out. There's absolutely no way you can get tickets for this show. So we bought tickets for two other shows. We went, we saw them. Afterwards, it's like, they were good, but that really wasn't what we wanted to see. We really wanted to see the show at the end of the film festival. Now, the show that we saw was actually the show that was right before the film we really wanted to see. And as we were coming out, because it was the closing show, there was a reception. They were laying out the food. And so we're just kind of longingly walking through, wishing that we could stay. And once again, the woman said, I'm sorry, it's sold out. There's absolutely no way you can get a ticket. So we leave. We drive back home, which is 30 to 45 minutes. And as we're sitting there, she says, you know, I really want to see that show. Let's drive back up there. And so her husband went to work, Philip was doing something else, and I'm thinking, they just told us it's sold out. But okay, if you want to drive up there, I'll go with you. She said, all they can do is tell us no, right? So we got in the car, we drove up, we went to the window. It said, sold out, no tickets available. We walked past the window. We got to the front door of the theater. There was a chair in front with a sign that said, sold out, no tickets available. We walked past the chair. We get inside, there's an attendant sitting on the floor because the film had already started. She said, do you have tickets? We said, no. She said, you know we're sold out. I said, yes. Right as she's forming her lips to tell us that we can't get in, another woman walks up and she says, you know we're sold out, right? And we said, yes. And she said, but you want to see the show? And we said, we desperately want to see the show. All right, come with me. Let's go upstairs and I'll find you seats. We went to the top of the stairs, two seats, prime location. You could see the show beautifully. We sat down, watched the rest of the film, went home, and the next day as we were praying, we knew it was significant. And God said, and how many other things have I prepared for you if you would only be willing to press past and believe me? So the word for tonight is belief. At this point, we're going to have a prayer time. The prayer counselors are standing around.